It's like a game of chess this morning. Now we'll read from Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Siron like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oak sand strips, the forest bare, and in his temple all cry, glory! The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Everybody give a warm welcome to Reverend David Poole as he brings us the message today.
According to the order of worship, this is my turn, but I don't really want to get in anybody's way. I bring you greetings from the First Church of Pembroke, and it is an honor and thank you for such a warm welcome this morning. Historically, I do believe that this church is an offshoot of the First Church of Pembroke, and so I'm here to get my members back. Let us take a moment and be in the spirit of prayer. Lord, take your words and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire with a love for you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The scripture reading is about 3 days late, as it is the story of our wise men visiting, which happened this past Thursday on the day of Epiphany. So after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born, King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Well, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where this Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied. "For this is what the prophet has written, 'You, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' And Herod called the Magi secretly, found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search. And as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him.' And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen, when it rose, went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Amen. Our wise men had hundreds, thousands of miles to ponder the potential scene that they would be attending. This Messiah had been born, and a star guided them to Bethlehem. So let's ponder a bit what they might be pondering. Visions of a celebration of Disneyland proportions. Trumpets, Mardi Gras music filling the darkest valleys. Streamers gliding down from rooftops, the ticker tape parade, topless dancers, fireworks. Add to that the endless array of politicians giving pronouncements and keys to the city. This was going to be glorious. The Messiah had been born. And that was going to be a story, for the ages when they returned. Well, just imagine just how surprised now they were when they finally did arrive. Well, it shouldn't be all that of a surprise. They're late. Maybe they couldn't decide what to wear. One of them forgot to bring a gift, so they had to stop along the way. It is Christmas, and all the stores are closed. So all he could find was myrrh, whatever that is. They're wise men, but they're men, so they got lost and then refused to ask directions. And so they finally stopped in Jerusalem, where the king set them straight, and off to Bethlehem they finally went. Well, Bethlehem, sure, was a bit overcrowded due to this census thing, but it was quiet. It was business as usual. They walked through town. There was no real hint of anything special. People were taking out the trash, getting groceries, going to work. There was no parade. There was no party. No joy. Probably a lot of eyes wondering just who in the world are these funny dressed people and what are they doing here? You know, foreigners. Well, that must have been troubling for these wise men. Like when you arrive at a party at someone's house, but there's no cars in the driveway and the lights aren't on. Like, did we get the date right? You sure it's tonight? And when these royal men finally found this child, and it was a child now, could have been 2 years old, they did not find a royal infant lying on a golden fleece pillow. They found a toddler with a runny nose and animal cracker crumbs sticking to his fingers. And he was running around and he was making a mess. Ew. So they must have been a bit confused. Maybe upset. Bothered? Not because they felt scammed. No. They believed. They knelt down and they worshiped. My thought is that perhaps these men were baffled by the response of the people of Bethlehem. This is the chosen one of God, people. His very star guided us. Why do you ignore and neglect the gift that has been given that is right before you? Your own Savior. Mary and Joseph, they were not wearing regal robes, not a lot of jewelry. They were young, common folk, doing their best to make ends meet and raise a two-year-old. They were not cheerfully welcoming guests with spicy rum eggnog. They were doing chores. They were making supper. And they were trying to keep Jesus from climbing on stuff. And I would imagine that they might be pretty frightened at the sight of these very strange men. For these strange-looking, important dignitaries might go snooping around, and they might ask some questions and then report to some authority and bring even more hardship upon a simple, struggling young family. This was not the scene the wise men had hoped. It was nothing more than a poor young couple, happy that their baby was healthy and worried about their future. But amidst all those questions and confusion, the wise men, in faith, they opened their treasures. And they knelt, and they worshiped. And in that moment, history shifted. The insiders were out. The outsiders were in. This story could be a parable for us. Christianity is alive, and the Holy Spirit is always on the move. The Holy Spirit is wherever people of faith yearn for justice. It is wherever people of faith reach across the aisles, they break down barriers, and they strive for dignity of all people. God is not limited to blessing only those chosen few. Throughout history, the heart of Christianity has shifted many times. The insiders become the outsiders. And the outsiders become the insiders. God's chosen people, the Israelites, well, they become a little arrogant and lazy. They made rules designed to keep God within their own confines. Their version of God's law was to, you know, keep out the riffraff. But the Holy Spirit will not be contained. And since the Jews wouldn't listen to Peter, Peter started preaching to the Gentiles. Shift. In came a wave of these Gentiles, these Romans. And so along comes the Catholic Church and a Pope. And they turn their worship into art and then idols and indulgences. And they start bestowing all sorts of authority on men who wear funny hats. But then there is a knock on the door and a reformation happens. A shift. The heart of Christianity moves from Rome to Germany and then Geneva. And then another shift, a new age, a new world. And the Spirit hops the pond with these weird people called pilgrims and Congregationalists. The Holy Spirit moves where it will. And today, it's sadly not here anymore. The tide has shifted. And God is working now in Chile, Brazil, and India. Once upon a time, We were those insiders. The church and the other one up the road, they were the places to be. We were God's people, and we were bold, and we were innovative, and we were active, and we were seeking, and we were helping. And we got a little bit lazy. And so now the church in America is declining. It is becoming more non-denominational. It's becoming more theatrical with all the bells and whistles for us to watch and feel all warm and fuzzy for an hour and then go home and lock the house and ignore the colored or the gay neighbor. Once upon a time, the Holy Spirit called us to study and to examine the scriptures which led us to feed the hungry and to visit the sick and welcome the oppressed. Now, and we all see it, we've all felt it, too many churches use scripture to demean, exclude, and justify hatred. All in the name of the one who saves us sinners, but not those sinners. Well, we all know this. It's not new. Don't kill the messenger. It has been happening for a while, and it started quietly without us even noticing. But now it's the elephant in the room, and there's no way around it. The church has become more entertainment than lifestyle. Our devotion, our worship is more about making ourselves feel good rather than reaching out and providing for and fighting for and sharing and caring about the needs of others. There is no I in church. I'm right. But when the church becomes more about us than others, well, then the Holy Spirit will find new and open hearts. Hearts that care. The excuses I've heard and used many times. I didn't like the former pastor. I don't like the current pastor. I work hard all week. I need a day off. As long as I'm a good person, I shouldn't have to come to church. I can worship in my own way. All of the excuses and all the other ones have that same underlying theme. It's all about me. The people of Bethlehem paid no attention to the events happening right in front of them because it didn't affect them. We've always been God's chosen people. We're special. We are God's own. They can't fathom the idea that God may just love the rest of humanity too. An American missionary in Zaire wrote in his diary of how the people that he encountered were amazed at the stories that he would tell of the cold and snow. And they asked him, are there people in America who do not believe? I mean, sure, yes, lots. Well, how could that be? When people see such a thing as snowfall, how could they not believe? There are so many of us who miss the wonders of God because we just take it for granted. Paul writes, the grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety may be made known. God is turning this world upside down. And there are wise men and wise women today who are leading the way. And they aren't who you might think they are. They include all sorts of colors and genders and ages. They're bold and they're passionate, and they are fighting not for themselves, but for those who are outside those lines. They are reaching out and they are in the fight to bring about justice and dignity. And they are open to discovering all of the new ways that God is at work. Once upon a time, a child was born. This little child started a revolution. And throughout history, that revolution has continued and it will continue. And that Holy Spirit will lead the way. And the choice is ours. Will we lead? Will we follow? Or will we be left behind? Amen.